Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, presented by Living Stream Ministry. These life studies explore every book in the Bible from the perspective of the believer's enjoyment and experience of God's divine life in Christ through the Holy Spirit. These messages unveil how the Scriptures can be living and more than mere doctrine to man. Today, we bring you recorded excerpts of Witness Lee's original speaking, along with some of our own comments and thoughts. If you have questions, please send email to radio@lsm.org. Now, let's join today's program.
Of the three of the Godhead, or the Trinity, surely the Spirit is the most difficult to understand. We can relate to God the Father, and we appreciate Christ the Son as our Redeemer and Savior. But how do we understand and apply the Spirit? We'll get some real help on this crucial need of all believers on today's Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program furnished by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Joining us for fellowship as we begin our look at this marvelous type from Exodus chapter 30 is Ed Marks. Ed, welcome back to the broadcast.
It's good to be back, Matt.
Ed, the matter of the Spirit is one of the great mysteries in the Bible, and the evidence of that surely must be the different teachings. There's a lot of diversity and understanding that exists among God's people today regarding the Spirit. Why is it that we believe that this revelation of the holy anointing oil from Exodus chapter 30 can be invaluable for all believers in gaining both an understanding and an application of the Spirit?
Well, the thing is, Matt, in the New Testament, we have the reality of the truths of God's economy and the reality of the truths in the Bible. But in the Old Testament, what we see are pictures of those realities. We see living symbols with spiritual significance. So the way we can see the Spirit very definitively and very clearly and very accurately is by looking at Exodus 30 on the truth concerning the compound ointment or the holy anointing oil, which 1 John 2:20 says you have an anointing from the Holy One. 1 John 2:27 says you have an anointing, and this anointing teaches you concerning all things. Well, where is that anointing in the Old Testament? It's in Exodus 30. It's the moving and working and operating of the indwelling compound Spirit in our spirit, we'll see in the broadcast, to paint us, quote-unquote, paint us with the triune God so that we can be his expression. So it's a very clear picture in the Old Testament of the reality in the New Testament.
Let me read the verses, Ed, in chapter 30 to help our listeners get a background so they can see the recipe that was described by the Scripture for this all-inclusive ointment, starting with verse 22. Moreover, Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, you also take the finest spices of flowing myrrh, 500 shekels, and of fragrant cinnamon, half as much, 250 shekels, and of fragrant calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and a hin of olive oil. And you shall make it a holy anointing oil, a perfume compounded according to the perfumer's art. It shall be a holy anointing oil. Here's Witness Lee for our first portion, and then we'll come back and talk more about this holy anointing oil.
In these ointment, in these anointing, the materials are of two categories. Five kinds of two categories. First four are one category of four kinds of spices: myrrh, cinnamon, calamus, cassia. Myrrh in the Bible is mostly used for people's deaths. If you read John 19, when Nicodemus and others were going to bury the dead body of the Lord Jesus, they used myrrh there. In Mark 15, we were told that before the Lord Jesus was crucified, they gave him a kind of wine mixed with myrrh to reduce his pain. He wouldn't take it. Then we come to cinnamon. It's a kind of stimulating dose to stimulate the weak heart. According to the sequence, no doubt, myrrh signifies the sweet death of Christ. Cinema, surely following this, signifies the very effectiveness of the Lord's death. And we know if we would take the Lord's crucifixion, and this will reduce our pain, and eventually this will make us happy, make us joyful, stimulate us. Then we come to Columbus. Columbus belongs to the family of reed, R-E-E-D. And the root for the Hebrew word for Columbus means to stand up. Standing up. Not only so, according to such a kind of reed, it grows in a muddy place, in a marsh. It stands up and rises up, shooting to the air. It signifies the rising up of the Lord Jesus from the very death place. He was put into a muddy, a marsh. But what? He stood up and rose up and resurrected. This is resurrection. Then the fourth one is cassia. Cinnamon is the inner part of the bark, and cassia is the outer part of the bark. This kind of bark was used as repellent, repelling the insects, especially the snakes. Based upon the sequence of the four things, you have to realize, no doubt, this is what? The effectiveness or the power of Christ's resurrection. Christ's resurrection can live in any kind of environment, and his resurrection surely is repellent. It repels all the evil insects, especially the old snake. I think you got it.
Ed, I think it's just awesome that you have this picture of myrrh, cinnamon, calamus, and cassia, so rich in meaning that applies to us in our experience today. Let's stop and develop this a little bit.
Yeah, Matt, it's really remarkable that all of these aspects of the Lord's processes that he went through are in the Spirit. Of course, we have to realize that John 1:14 says the Word became flesh. And then 1 Corinthians 15:45b says the last Adam, who was Christ in the flesh, became a life-giving spirit. So as the Spirit, he includes all of these items typified by these four elements. And I'd just like to review them again because they're so depictive. Firstly, you have myrrh, which signifies the precious death of Christ. And myrrh was used in ancient times to reduce pain, So we need to apply this to ourselves because 1 Corinthians 12:3b says, no one can say Lord Jesus except in the Holy Spirit, or Jesus is Lord. So when you call on the name of the Lord, you're in the Holy Spirit and you get painkiller.
Amen.
You're in pain. How can you get out of pain? You need to call on the Lord. You need to say, Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord Jesus, I need you. Lord Jesus, you're everything to me. When we call on the Lord in our conversations with him, then we get a painkiller, and that's myrrh. Then you have the cinnamon, and cinnamon signifies the sweetness and effectiveness of the Lord's death. It was also used in ancient times as a heart stimulant, which means that when we call on the Lord's name, he stimulates our psychological heart to make us happy and joyful in the Lord. So in the Spirit, there's painkiller pain reducer, and there is a heart stimulant to make us happy and joyful in the Lord. Then you have calamus. Calamus is a reed shooting up out of a marshy situation, which signifies the precious resurrection of Christ. He was in a marsh in death, but he stood up out of death like a reed shooting up out of that swampy death. In like manner, when we're in death situations, when we're in swampy situations, muddy situations, when we call on the Lord's name, when we praise the Lord will rise up from within us and we'll be far above that swampy environment. Then the fourth item of the spices is cassia. And cassia was used in ancient times to repel snakes and insects. The snake signifies the enemy, Satan, and the insects signify all the demons. So when you get in the spirit, all the troubling from Satan and the demons and the evil spirits are repelled from your being. To me, this is wonderful that all these items are in the spirit and we can enjoy them by calling on the name of the Lord.
Ed, I think this is marvelous to me that the Lord gives such a picture in the Old Testament, as you describe, the painkiller, the heart stimulus, the rising up power to get above our muddy situations. It has the snake repellent, the repellent to keep the bugs and the enemies away. And everything that we need is in this spirit. And what we've talked about so far is the humanity of Jesus, in the life of Jesus. And now we're going to see the second element, which is the oil. So you have these four elements mingled with the second category, which is the oil, which is the divine side. Let's go to Witness Lee and talk about that, and then we'll come back and talk about the mingling of these two aspects together. Here's Witness Lee.
The second category is an oil, olive oil. All the Bible students, all the Bible teachers, they all agree to say the same thing, that in the Bible, such an oil always signified the Spirit of God, no doubt. But listen, this is not just oil, this is olive oil. You know, how to get the oil out of the olives? By praising. This olive oil signifies the very Spirit of God. And you could see this is the base of the ointment. The olive oil is the basic element compounded with four spices. And all the four spices are compounded into this olive oil to make a compound. Now, the Spirit of God is no more merely the oil, but the oil compounded with some ingredient. Do you still remember the Lord's word in John 7, 39, that says the Spirit was not yet? Because Jesus was not glorified. Before his glorification, there was still not such a spirit. It was after his resurrection, the compounding, the blending of such a spirit was complete. Here's one oil signifying divinity in the Godhead. Four spices, one oil. Four signifies the creatures. One signifies the unique creator. So here, in this compound, you have the number four mixed with the number one. What is this? This is the humanity mixed up with the divinity. The four spices are mingled with the oil. Well, here you have an ointment. Could you see the all-inclusiveness of this compound? In this compound, the all-inclusive compound, you could see the olive oil, you could see the myrrh, you could see cinnamon, you could see calamus, you could see cassia. In this compound spirit, you could see divinity. You could see humanity. You could see the all-inclusive death of Christ. And you could also see the effectiveness of the death of Christ. How sweet it is. You could see the resurrection. And you could see the power of his resurrection. And how fragrant. All this. You could see all these things in today's spirit of Christ.
Ed, I hope everyone listening to this program today would be deeply impressed that today, the all-inclusive spirit, as the compound ointment, is nothing less than the triune God processed to become the all-inclusive spirit to reach us. That's a mouthful, but I just feel like that's, in a nutshell, what Witness Lee said just now, resulting in it's reaching us. All that the benefits are reaching us as the Spirit, as this compound ointment. Can you talk about how this happens, specifically related to that verse that Witness Lee talked about in John 7?
Yes, Matt. One thing I'd like to emphasize, in Philippians 1:19, Paul uses this phrase, the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And you can see this is the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. We just went through the four items of the plants, their significance with the precious death of Christ, the sweetness and effectiveness of his death, the precious resurrection of Christ, and the repelling power of his resurrection. Now we saw from Brother Lee's sharing, you have the unique God signified by the one hin of olive oil. He's the unique creator. He's the unique God. And then you have four spices, which signifies humanity. The reason why we know that, Matt, in Ezekiel 1, for instance, it talks about the four living creatures. And the leading one among the four living creatures is man. So the number four signifies man as the leading one with humanity as the leading one among the creatures. So what you have in the compound ointment is not just these four elements of his death and resurrection, four aspects of his death and resurrection. You also have the triune God mingled with humanity. You have divinity mingled with humanity. So again, when we experience the Spirit, when we enjoy the Spirit, again, I just say this simple word, by calling on his name, by saying, Lord Jesus, I love you, with a turned heart and exercised spirit, you touch this Spirit and you get the mingling of divinity with humanity applied to your being. And you get resurrection applied to your being. You get the power of resurrection applied to your being. You get death applied to your being. You get the sweetness and effectiveness of his death applied to your being. Then, Matt, this verse that Brother Lee mentioned, John 7:39, where it says the Spirit was not yet, because Jesus was not yet glorified. But what does that mean, the Spirit was not yet? Because the Spirit is mentioned throughout the Scriptures before then. Well, what the Lord meant here was that the Spirit as the compound ointment was not yet, because Jesus was not yet glorified. For him to be glorified was for him to be resurrected. That means the final element of this ointment was added in his resurrection to make him the Spirit, as the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, who is the reality of the compound ointment. So the all-inclusive Spirit of Jesus Christ now lives in our spirit, and we can enjoy him every day in a simple way by contacting him, by calling on his name.
And we're going to see how this is what you referred to earlier, a painting. That's a picture of the anointing constantly coming to us. It's a kind of a divine painting where the paint never dries. We're constantly getting soaked with the Spirit so that when people touch us, they're touching that paint. Let's go to Witness Lee for our final section, and then we'll come back to conclude today's program.
Don't pour these ointment upon the flesh of man. You all know the flesh of man in the Bible denotes what? Denotes man, the fallen man in old creation. We have been all generated. We all have become new creation. We do have a spirit regenerated. And we still have the old fallen flesh. You know, whenever we walk, we live according to the flesh, we are thrown with this Spirit of Christ. If we are going to enjoy to participate in such an all-inclusive spirit, we must remain in our spirit. Such a spirit of Christ will never be poured upon your old nature, your old man. Your flesh has no position to participate in this compound spirit. When you were there, losing your temper, throwing the flesh, what was there? No spirit. No spirit of Christ. But when you would turn to your spirit, right away, in your spirit, you sense the anointing, amen, the painting, amen, the pouring of the Spirit of Christ upon you. Amen. Because you are there, not in the old nature, but in the new creation. This flesh of man is also called a stranger. What does this mean? This is a comparison between the priests and other people. All the priests, they are in the presence of God, not acting according to the old nature. They act, they live according to their new nature. So they enjoyed this anointing, but all the other peoples in the eyes of God are strangers. We Christians today are not strangers. Right. We are the priests. But unbelievers, they are strangers. Now, when we behave according to our flesh, we are in the old creation, and we are considered as a stranger in the eyes of God. Then we are through with the Spirit of Christ. We must remain in the Spirit, act, behave, see things, do things, contact people all the time in our spirit. Then we are in the new creation as priests to serve God. Then we are participating in the Spirit of Christ. To enjoy, to participate in the Spirit of Christ, we must be a priest in the new creation. Don't be one in the flesh. Then you will be a stranger in the eyes of God. Concerning his all-inclusive spirit, you will be a stranger. Have no share in the Spirit of Christ. We should not act in our old nature. And we should not imitate anything of the Spirit of Christ.
Ed Witness Lee didn't develop the painting. He just made a quick reference to it there about how that's us being according to our spirit and living in our spirit. He developed the negative side, the stranger and living according to our flesh. But I appreciate how this picture in the Old Testament is contrasting the priesthood with the priests that we are in the New Testament living according to our spirit compared to the strangers who are disqualified from the compound ointment because they live according to their flesh.
Yeah, Matt, I thought it was marvelous how Brother Lee developed that point, because the Bible says in Exodus 30, it says that this ointment cannot be poured upon any stranger. What does that mean? Well, he opened this up to show us that it means when we're not in our spirit, when we're in our flesh, we are a stranger in God's sight. And the Spirit can't be poured upon us. We can't enjoy the application and the painting of the Spirit on our inner being when we're in our flesh. You know, Brother Lee said that we're all priests. All the believers are priests. I want our listeners to realize that 1 Peter 2:5 says we're a holy priesthood. 1 Peter 2:9 says we're a royal priesthood. So if you're a believer out there listening, you're a priest. You're a priest. But don't be a stranger in God's sight. Stay in your spirit. Call on his name. Touch him every day. Tell him you love him. You know, I'm coming back to this again and again, to contact him in your spirit, to stay in touch with him. Well, when we're in our spirit, we enjoy the anointing of that spirit. And again, this anointing is mentioned in 1 John 2, verses 20 and 27. Verse 20 says, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. And then 1 John 2:27 says, you have an anointing, and this anointing teaches you concerning all things. Well, that anointing can be likened to painting. The Lord as the Spirit, as the compound spirit in our spirit, he's not a noun, he's a gerund. Now, what is a gerund? I was an English teacher. Gerund is a noun in action. It's a verbal noun. It means he's not in us in a quiescent state, in an inactive state. He's in us in a movable state. So the anointing is the moving and working and operating of the indwelling compound spirit in our spirit. So he's painting us. That's why I said you can compare the anointing to the painting. He's painting us with all the elements of this ointment. Isn't that wonderful? And as he's painting us, we are gaining more of him. What's marvelous, Matt, is that when we're enjoying this anointing, this divine painting, the paint is wet. The paint is always wet. It's like you have these warnings on benches that say, wet paint. You know, in other words, don't sit there, you'll get painted. Well, in the same way, we should be freshly painted with the Spirit, that if people touch us, they get painted with the Spirit. So we should be the same way. I would just like to end with this, that we don't want to be strangers. We want to be people in the Spirit, and we want to be people enjoying the anointing as the divine and mystical painting in our being, moment by moment and day by day.
Ed, our time's up. Otherwise, I'd love to develop this more. I hope our listeners would get the printed life study message and also the recovery version with these footnotes that I just feel like we're touching the tip of the iceberg. There is a lot of depth and riches in this picture of the compound ointment. We'll do some more programs on it as the days go by. I don't think we can exhaust it today. We can just barely touch it.
Yeah, Ben, I'd like to encourage our listeners to get the printed life study because it's so rich and you'll see much more.
Amen. Well, Ed, thanks for coming in today, and thank you also for joining us for this program. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as we have. On behalf of Ed Marks, this is Matt Miller. Thanks for listening today.
You've been listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry, publisher and distributor of the works of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. If you'd like to contact us, just email radio@lsm.org or call us toll-free at 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 1-888-543-3788. Thanks for listening.